Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, we're going to head to Detroit. We'll bring in Chris Emma with a report from Ford Field next. You're listening
Grody
to...
Grody is voiding me.
Grody is ducking you.
Grody, man.
Well, they're playing on turf, so he doesn't give you the...
Yeah, but I want to put on his turf shoes and try it out. He's... So now he's a star. Now he's on the score in the afternoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I think he's not there, to be honest with you. I don't think he's going to
Detroit. Well, he can't. He's working. He's doing too much.
He just doesn't. He'll probably be on TV
tonight. ESPN.
He's always hated Motown.
Oh, wow.
Not true.
That is not true about Mark Grody. Well, some of that is true. Some of that is true. He is on the midday show now with Marshall and Layla. That's true.
He hates Motown, and he's ducking Olin.
He's definitely ducking Olin, but he does not hate Motown. Because how could one hate Motown? Mark Grody's got a lot of work. He's got to walk us through a whole bunch of stuff that happened up at Hallis Hall today. We are glad that you are here, by the way. It's the Spieg on Home show. Big Ann Heron is sitting in for Spiegs, so we appreciate him for being here. Groats joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. What do we need to know about Hallis Hall and the Bears today, Groats?
A lot going on, guys. First to Olin. Just so Olin knows, I will be on TV this weekend where Big Ant Heron roams. I'll be on Fox 32 on Sunday night, on the Sunday night show.
Wait, then we'll be together because I believe I'm booked for that show,
go.
Too.
Let's go.
You just made my day because I, you know, it's always a mystery. You never know. So I am very happy to hear I have the comfort of Lawrence Holmes on Sunday. That's going to be a blast.
You guys should coordinate outfits.
You're right.
Yes. Well, I just bought a new suit, so I'm gonna be debuting that puppy to the television public on Sunday.
That's what happens when you get new paper.
Yeah, and we found out that he clearly has a fan base in women's prison, so he is stepping his game up so that he can get. Yeah, that's a whole thing on the midday show.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I missed that episode.
Yeah, he's apparently getting letters and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I am here to serve. I am a man of service. You know, as we get older, we like to give back in life, and that's sort of what I want to do. Although, the real upset is that there is no women's prison in Dwight, Illinois anymore, which I thought that there was, but it's gone. Also, to Olin, you know, as far as being a star, I'm just waiting for him to get in the Hall of Fame so he and I can both talk about being Hall of Famers. You know, he hasn't made it there yet, and he should be in the Hall of Fame. But someday, Olin and I will finally be on the same level of stardom.
Did you know that Mark Grody is in ISU's Hall of Fame?
I've heard that, like, a bunch from Mark Grody. But, yes, I've heard that.
Yes. He and Chris Ronji are both in the ISU Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Who I will be going on the air with tonight at 8 o'clock. He insisted. I know it's a little bit too much me, but he needed me to be on there. I am his comfort pet for tonight at 8 o'clock. So I'm going to make sure, though, that this is the best hit I do today, because you know it'll go off the rails with Ranji, as if this update hasn't already gone off the rails a little bit. So I will
put us back on the rails.
I'll put it back on the rails for you driving around, being like, come on, man, get to it. Here's what it was today. Bad news as far as the defensive injuries are concerned. This is not going to sound great to people, but TJ Edwards did not practice today because of a hamstring. Kyler Gordon, hammy, did not practice today. Grady Jarrett, no participation out in the Bears practice today because of his knee. Jalen Johnson, we knew because, you know, he was on the Spiegel and Holmes show. We knew that he was not going to be out here. Nothing. Ben Johnson did not reveal anything more about Jalen Johnson. So what we know is that he's probably going to be out for the season, but with a hamstring injury, by the way. Jalen Jones also did not practice for the Bears today, which, again, not good because he's part of that secondary for the Chicago Bears. Let's get to who was here today, who was talking, what was going on after the Bears gave up 52 and were embarrassed in Detroit. Ben Johnson, the Bears head coach, questioning his team's effort against Detroit and their effort in practice.
You volunteered on Monday that there were some things on tape offensively away from the ball that displeased you. What were some of the specifics of the things?
Yeah, there were things all over the tape on all three phases that we're looking to clean up. And I thought as a whole that that team, they played a little bit harder than us. And that's a reflection of me as a coach. That's a reflection of our coaching staff, and it's a reflection of our players too. When you play a good team like that on the road, that you gotta be all out and every single snap, and that just was not the case. So specifically, it was everybody.
Are there guys that need to practice better too?
I think our practice habits are yet to reflect a championship caliber team.
That is pretty damning all the way around. How did you read, like, how did the room read that when you got that raw of an answer from Ben?
Well, that's a great question, Lawrence, because I asked the question, and it's a quick, concise answer, which will catch reporters off, caught me off guard, because the follow-up there obviously would have been, you know, that what specifically are you talking about? The follow-up did come later on with the media, and he said, as far as the defense is concerned, he said, guys got to go to the football, and you have to finish hard. That's what he said about the defense. Offensively, Johnson said he stresses fundamentals and finish, and you need to show up and practice. And he made a big deal about showing up in the walkthrough as well, which obviously, you know, the walkthroughs come late in the week. You know, it's something that maybe players, you know, we don't get to see the walkthrough, but one could suspect that maybe guys take that a little bit too casually. Maybe they're not as serious, but Ben Johnson wants them to take it seriously. And shout out to Matt Zahn from Channel 2, who did eventually ask the follow-up for the more specific. So Ben Johnson is kind of comporting himself a little bit differently this week, guys, I think, based on the embarrassment of the Detroit game, even though they didn't make a big deal out of it in terms of, you know, how wreckful that game was. Wreckful? But he did say today that, you know, that they have to practice harder and be better in every single aspect.
And because we're two games into his first regular season leading the Bears, I feel like we're very much still in the getting to know you phase with Ben Johnson. And he was a guy who was very obvious to all you guys who were there on a regular basis during training camp that training camp practices were more demanding. There was more volume to the coaching staff. And now that we're a couple of games into the year, and it still doesn't seem like the enhanced results of player focus, player effort, are not where it seems like they should be. What's your sense for the tone then that Ben Johnson is striking in light of that?
I love the tone that he is striking because typically, you know, with his predecessors, I would say, we don't typically get that kind of honesty in terms of he is telling us that he's given these guys a kick in the butt, that things are not okay right now, that and look, we've all sort of danced around it. Like when you lose like they did to the Lions, like we're all afraid to say it, but the effort is not there. And we all come close because there's nothing more damning than that. And Big Ant, you could probably speak to it better. I don't know if there is anything more damning in any sport if you are saying that there's not enough effort out there. And guess what? That's damning on the coaching staff as well. I mean, there's maybe the biggest indictment. And they said that he, Ben Johnson, that he and the coaching staff obviously have not done enough to get these guys motivated, or as he said, practice like that you're a championship team. And maybe that's hard to get through the heads of some of these guys who have been losing forever with the Bears and endured a 10-game losing streak. It takes more than an off-season program, a training camp, and two games to undo all what was the Chicago Bears from, we'll just keep it at last year.
We were just having a conversation with Ed Werder about the Matt Eberflus experience down in Dallas. Was there any talk of Matt Eberflus today?
There was. There was talk with Ben Johnson. There was talk with some of the players, and I'll highlight some of that. But I do want you to hear what Ben Johnson said. Ben Johnson, he says that, he was asked, Matt Eberflus knows Caleb Williams' habits inside and out. So, Ben, what do you say about that?
Yeah, well, we've got guys in the building that know how his mind works, and so we had some information on schematically how he liked to approach my offense in general and his feelings on Caleb. So I feel like we know what he knows, and, we'll be just fine there.
Okay. I was thinking about it as the game was going on last week, that the idea of like intimate knowledge of some of the stuff, I think sometimes can get in the way of looking at the team that you're playing this week. And there was a part of me that while I was watching the Bears versus Detroit, I'm going, yeah, Ben, I guess, did say some things to DA about Jared Goff. And I wonder if it would have been better had he not. Had he just let DA just go, here's what the film says I should do. I'm going to do that. Instead, it also would have helped if David had a pass rush.
Yeah, right.
But I often wonder if familiarity sometimes breeds contempt in that way, and that maybe you should just go, use this or not, don't feel obligated to use any of this stuff. Do what you feel is right. Here are a couple of notes instead of being like, I know this guy, and I know how to take care of him. Just a thought from me, Groats.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with that. And yeah, I think in this case, I feel like that they are taking a lot of that in. I mean, I felt like Ben Johnson, that was a pretty genuine answer from him in that case. And he did say before that, about playing all of what he said, that he has a lot of respect for Matt Eberflus as a defensive coordinator. He said that that he game planned really well, he said, against Detroit. Well, Ben, in his days as a defensive coordinator and his days with the Chicago Bears where he was running the defense. So he did give the sort of obligatory respect to Matt Eberflus as well. We'll hear from Caleb a little bit later on Matt Eberflus, and I'll tell you what some of the other players said as well. But that's just a little taste there from Ben Johnson.
Oh, there's a story going around, and a lot of people are talking about it. We talked about it on the show yesterday. The idea of there being a conflict of interest with Tom Brady being an owner and an analyst. He is going to be on the call for Bears-Cowboys this weekend, and then the Bears go to Las Vegas. By the way, you can hang out with us at Circa. We're going to be there for that weekend in Las Vegas, circalasvegas.com, if you want to get yourself a room. It'd be fun. But there's a conflict of interest that has been discussed league-wide. Tom has tried to downplay it, and it sounds like Ben Johnson kind of downplayed it too.
Yeah, he did, and he had the townspeople, that's us, laughing a little bit today. He was asked, as you said, Lawrence, about Raiders minority owner Tom Brady announcing the Bears-Cowboys this week, and then the Bears at Brady's Raiders next week. Here's Ben Johnson.
Are you going to do that pre-production meeting, and do you have to be careful kind of how much you divulge?
Man, I've been careful. Everything I've said since the season started, I've been in pure coach speak mode. Started. So, to me, it's just business as usual. I'm just fine. I like Tom, and we have a really good relationship. So,
how do you reconcile the conflict of interest that exists with the whole situation?
Yeah, like I said, I'm really not worried about it. I mean, we change week to week in terms of what we do. Schematically, he's going to be able to turn on the tape and see what everyone else in the world is seeing right now. Personnel-wise, really the same thing. It's not like I'm going to sit down with them and tell, hey, don't do this to Caleb Williams or you might get it. Like, I'm not going to – there's not going to be any trade secrets that are going to be exchanged. But I really don't think it's that big of a deal, to be honest with you.
I think Ben is being understandably respectful of one of the greatest players of all time and the face of the NFL on Fox at the moment. And perhaps he's just like, I got bigger fish to fry right now, so I'm not going to communicate very differently with Tom than I do with anybody else. But like Stacey Dales had some really strong and I thought, you know, really cogent thoughts on the topic with Mully and Haw, and you guys have been talking about it for a couple of days here. If nothing else, it shouldn't be something that should have to be worried about in a production meeting, you know, preparing for a broadcast or coaches and players there. Do you feel, Groats, like Ben Johnson was being genuine, like he legitimately doesn't have much concern over it?
Well, I think you nailed it when you said, because that's exactly what I was thinking of when he was talking. There's just a respect that these players have to have for Tom Brady. And I would even use the word fear. You know, like,
that's a great word.
Right? I mean, these guys are afraid. Like, the players and the coaches, and to some degree, you get it. This is Tom Brady is a man with a ton of power. He has a microphone in his hand, $350 million from Fox Network. He is, as we said, a minority owner of the Raiders. He is revered and loved and one of the most competitive people that has ever played the game of football. So I think that's Ben Johnson showing respect, and I guess I would say the proper amount of fear.
Yeah, and I don't like that people inside of football are acting like this is not a conflict of interest. It is. It's yep, seriously yep. A conflict of interest. And any of us that have been a part of production meetings with teams know that there are a lot of things that are divulged to a broadcast crew.
Yes.
And you can a trick play happens and the analysts will be like, yeah, they worked on that Friday night. And like they know a lot of stuff. So if he's keeping it super vanilla, I'm good with it. This is above Ben Johnson. This is a league problem that it seemed like they had in check last year, but it seems like they don't care that much this year. And I think that Groats is on it. There is a level of fear, and that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem, which is why you point out some of these conflicts of interest. Why don't we give Ben one more before we have to take a timeout? We haven't talked about the Bears quarterback, and we will in the next segment. What about the Cowboys quarterback?
Yeah, well, Ben Johnson in his intro, without having been prompted with any questions, said that Dak Prescott is playing some of the best football in the NFL right now. Two games, obviously played awesome in that last game. I mean, he was 38 of 52, 361 yards and two TDs. He threw for 188 in the first game, zero touchdowns, zero picks in that first game for Dak Prescott. But I got back to that, and I asked Ben Johnson, why do you think he is playing so well right now?
Man, when I see a quarterback utilize cadence the way that he does, and I know that's a little thing, but it's reflective of he's got total control of the field. He's looking to manipulate the defense. He's looking to control them. Hopefully we'll have a loud crowd here on Sunday that combats his ability to use that cadence to our disadvantage. But when I see that on tape, I know like this is a guy that's seeing the field really well right now, and he's trying to move defenders around. And I think that's when you have an experienced player like that, that's a dangerous thing.
The danger in that is right now Dak Prescott is accustomed to just being in score fests and having games where you're trading touchdowns with the opponent over and over again. Do you get the sense that Ben Johnson is himself concerned about that? Because right now I don't know that the Bears are situated to just go score for score with a player playing as well as Dak Prescott.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. But also what I got out of that, I'm listening to that, and I'm like, oh, cadence and seeing the entire field and using your eyes. Like, that is stuff that he wants. We know what he values, and this is what he wants for Caleb Williams. And, Lawrence, I know you got to take a break here, but when we come back, we will hear from Caleb Williams on that very topic, him using his eyes, and he will Caleb will get specific on that very topic.
On the score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Your life isn't one size fits all. Every day brings something different. Your style should too. At Maurices, we make it easy to show up feeling comfortable, confident, and completely you. Our over 800 stylists are here to help you look your best. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got styles that fit your life and your budget. Fashion made for real-life moments. Maurices.
Do you know Mark Grody's designation for today's game? Because I noticed that you're up.
No? Mark Grody is active and ready to go as always.
All right.
Before Chicago takes on Dallas, tune in Sunday morning from 9 a.m. until noon for your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Mully, Olin, Patrick, they got you all set for the game. Then immediately following the game will be Mully, Olin, and Patrick. They'll have instant reaction on the postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Arturo Tires. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. We are in the middle of our Bears report. By the way, if you're just tuning in, you just got out of work, you're like, hey, what's going on today? The Cubs beat the Pirates in what was a crazy game, and it was super long. They won the game against the Pirates. They have now clinched a playoff berth. They still mathematically have an opportunity to win the division, and they have to deal with the Mets next week, which is a team that's still trying to fight to get into that last spot, and they've got to deal with the Diamondbacks and with the Giants to see if they're going to make it in. So nothing has been determined on where it is they're slotted in, but for the first time in 5 years, the Cubs have made the playoffs, so that's a good thing. And when they went to the World Series, Mark Grody got a ring. That man has a championship ring.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
A Hall of Famer. He's got a lot of things going on. How can we get the quarterback of the Bears closer to a championship ring? Boom!
Oh, Lawrence, you are that's how you get a Lissagor Award, ladies and gentlemen. Lawrence, and just for the record, a lot of us, of course, on these big sports moments, like the Cubs clinching a wild card spot, a lot of the Bears reporters, including yours truly, all gathered around the televisions here at Halas Hall to watch the final out and see if the Cubs would party on the field, which it didn't look like they did, but we saw them in the locker room with the goggles on and all that good stuff. So anyway, before the break, we had just heard from Ben Johnson talking about how much he loved Dak Prescott, who just seems to own the field, as he said, and using his eyes well and all that kind of stuff, manipulating defenders. Let's listen to Caleb Williams on how he's doing on things like that, specifically with getting the level of vision to the right place for Caleb Williams on the field.
It's something that we talk about, something that we it's a part of progressing in football and growing more in this league. It's being able to obviously you see guys like Matthew that's done it for, I mean, how many ever years he's done it, and being able to just know where people are and being able to either keep them where they are to be able to deliver the ball or move them and be able to deliver the ball behind them. And so there was a few times, you know, last game that happened. The first game, actually, you know, we were you know, practicing those things. I ended up missing those two passes that you know, we all talked about. But other than that, it's just something in little nuggets that, you know, Ben gives me throughout the week. And, you know, whether it's the concept or just that singular play, it's something that we talk about and discuss throughout the week and using my eyes and being able to move wherever I want and move the defenders wherever I want.
That's what you were talking about with Dak, where Dak does eye manipulation, Big Ant, where he's able to sometimes dictate what a defense thinks they're seeing.
The eye discipline from a quarterback where you can move defenders with your eyes. That's kind of a next level of quarterbacking where you can force defenders to think one thing or see one thing when you know, can tell the entire time that you're going somewhere else with the football. And to have the comfort to do that and the knowledge of system to do that takes a little minute to grow in that direction. And Groats, when you hear Caleb talking in that way, and just really even overall, because he was better in week 2 than week 1. He wasn't even awful in week 1, but he was certainly better in the second game. The tone that you guys hear from him this week after the week 2 performance, in the scope of the team itself being awful, what did you kind of take away from Caleb's energy and just talking about his individual performance?
Yeah, I mean, and we did talk to him, Big Ant, about like what improvements that he saw in himself. And I will say that the reason I'm not playing that is because he generalized a lot. He said that everything got a little bit better. But I think the biggest thing that if you really want to simplify it, he just seemed even from week 1 to week 2, he seemed more decisive, more confident in where he wanted to go with the football. We know he had the one bad interception where he was terrific at eluding the pressure. I thought he was kind of caught in between on that play, wanting to make the special play and also throw it out of bounds. So it was sort of like his brain and his arm were not in sync on that particular play. But, you know, I think, you know, we're going to zero in much more on Caleb as the weeks go on. But when the defense gives up 52, as I like to say, we kind of all gave the quarterback a break for the week. But, you know, I thought he did look more decisive in game 2.
And I didn't, when I came on for post-post, I didn't even really talk about Caleb in the post-post right. show after the game on Sunday, just because there were so many other obviously glaring issues that the Bears have, where if you get a competent performance from the QB, and we're 2 games in, for him just stacking decent play, quality play, and hopefully building off of it, I think that's fair and reasonable when the offensive line can't move somebody, when the defense is giving up 50-plus points. And so I completely agree with just that tone and that approach for right now. But in the scope of the Bears' passing attack, when they got these early draft picks like Luther Burden, Colston Loveland, who aren't seeing the field that much, aren't seeing the rock hardly at all, what did Caleb say about that, especially with the tight end position?
Yeah, Cole Kmet, 2 targets. Anthony, Colston Loveland, 1 target, did not have a catch in the game. And just to give you a little background, we're going to hear from Caleb right now, but Ben Johnson said that the lack of tight end usage is on him, as in on Ben Johnson. But here's what Caleb Williams says about that.
We had a few passes today, and you know, just kind of being on the same page with those guys. You know, I feel that way. I believe they feel that way, and being able to go out there and execute plays and, you know, deliver them a good ball and let them go and work. I know the first game, you know, I miss 1 to Colston across the middle, but you know, I think over the time from, you know, OTA's training camp and now, I think, you know, our connection has grown, and you know, I think we're on the same page and have the same you know, idea of where, you know, I think they should be and where they will be.
So here's the thing. I didn't look for it in the Detroit game because there's not a lot to look for in that Detroit game. But in the Vikings game, I did pay attention to Colston Loveland quite a bit. And he was not running his routes with the efficiency of which I was hoping. And here's what I mean. There was a sideline route to him where there was a route that he ran on the sidelines where if you looked at the still, you'd be like, why didn't Caleb throw him the ball? Well, the reason is because Caleb got to the top of his drop, and Colston hadn't even come close to making his break. And so if you're Caleb and you're looking over there, you're like, no, he's not prepared to receive the pass. I wonder if that's one of the things that's going on here, right, where it's not just being on the same page, but also practice speed versus play speed, and are you where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there?
And again, to the point I was making earlier, and Gross, we were talking about Tyler Warren, and I was out at Colts camp, and you know the Colts were ecstatic about Warren falling to them and everything else, and Colston Loveland, there's more projection in the evaluation just for what he can become as a tight end. And you know, similar to Sam LaPorta, Sam LaPorta didn't get a whole bunch of targets while he was at Iowa because Iowa's passing offense during his final year there was moribund at best, just like Michigan's passing offense was last season while Colston Loveland was there. So he hasn't necessarily been tasked with being a precise and consistent route runner to the volume that some of these other guys have. So as much as the development of Caleb is under the microscope, but you wonder about some of these young pass catchers and their development and where it really sits.
Great usage of moribund, first of all. That was awesome. And then I will say, like, I'll go, you're spot on. And what Lawrence said, too, about practice speed, like, when I saw Colston Loveland out here in training camp, I was like, okay, I see what everybody's talking about. He does look different. He does move differently. And this is just and this is going to be part to blame for a lot of these guys, like Luther Burden, and maybe even if Ozzie Tripolo is ever active again. Like,
if it ever happens again.
Yeah, I don't know if that was necessary on my part, but it's there. I said it. Practice is different. Training camp is different. The preseason is different. And we all know that. But I think sometimes we could find specific examples. The other thing is, and I said this so many times that I think I was exhausting Dan Weider on the Take the North podcast, because I've seen it enough in my career covering the Bears that when rookies miss the off-season program, I know they were there for camp, for most of camp anyway, but when guys like Colston Loveland and Luther Burden are not available for those first few weeks and what they're doing and what they're implementing, I've seen so many players fall behind because of that. Doesn't happen to everybody. Like Roquan Smith is a good example. Roquan Smith, his first NFL action was in a game and it was a sack, and we know how good Roquan was. But more times than not, when rookies miss the off-season program, they fall behind, and I think that's to some degree what's going on here with those guys.
Is Caleb excited to see Flus?
Well, it's such a great question, because I think we all have a little bit of an idea of how Caleb feels about the previous coaching staff. But here's how Caleb Williams answered the question about Matt Eberflus.
How do you feel about the time that you had with Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, it was great. I think.
No, it wasn't.
I think we're at the point where, you know, we're past that. But, yeah, it was good. Obviously, being able to, you know, become a Chicago Bear, he made that decision. Obviously, everybody else was in here and being able to make that decision, making me a Chicago Bear. So, you know, happy to be here. And, you know, our time together wasn't wasted, obviously.
Yes,
know, we didn't
it was.
Win as much as we wanted, but we're past that, and we're focused on trying to be 1-0 this week.
Sorry, I was the interjection there. I don't want anyone to think that Caleb was being his own ombudsman. But no.
It's Caleb's internal monologue.
Yeah. I'm going to act as his anger translator, Luther,
right, yeah,
and tell you that is not how he felt about what happened last year with Matt Eberflus, but I appreciate him at least saying, trying to be nice and being a professional.
How do you feel about the time that you had with Matt Eberflus?
Yeah, it was great.
No,
a lie detector test determined that was a lie.
That's right, Maury.
Anywho.
That's right. Maury knows. Let's just move right along off of that one. I'm curious because, look, I had Tyrique Stevenson as my breakout player this year. I figured with Dennis Allen's defense and Jalen Johnson being on the other side, that Tyrique Stevenson could have a big year. I wonder now if Tyrique Stevenson is in danger of being cut.
But to put who in his place, though?
Yeah, that's the only problem.
I think that's always the difficult thing. Like, oh, this guy messed up. He shouldn't be here. They got to put somebody on the field.
I'm not saying it because he's messed up in games.
Yeah.
I'm saying it because there seems to be a he doesn't get it theme that has gone through since last week five, that there seems to be a thing with him where he doesn't get it. And then on top of it, you're not playing as well as people expect you to play. So I'm curious to hear, what did Tyreek have to say about what happened on Sunday?
I do have evidence, Lawrence, to suggest that Tyreek Stevenson knows he had a bad game in Detroit. Here it is.
What I put on tape was definitely not who I am or my standards or this team standard. So best thing I can do is put my head down, have a short memory, and come back out and put who I am and what I stand for on display.
You said that's not you, but then what was going on in that game?
Every play ain't going to be perfect. Every game ain't going to be perfect. The best thing I could try to do is make sure that my technique, my standards show up every play. And just happened this game that more plays than I would like, my standard and my technique was there, and it just got exposed. That's all that it is. It's the game of football, and I play one of the hardest positions on the field. The best thing I could do is have my keep my confidence, next play mentality, and come out and get ready for this game.
You said those South Florida guys are tough. Mm-hmm. They get over stuff fast. Why? What is it about South Florida?
We dogs. That's it. That's it. I can't give you no other explanation other than that. We dogs. We come from the bottom. So the only thing we could do is go to the top.
Okay, so let me further explain about this thing, because I want Tyreek Stevenson to be good.
Yeah,
I've in some ways staked my reputation. I did a whole pod on House of L about how it should work. But here's the reason why I think that he could be a candidate for this. One, you have a head coach that is upset about the way things have gone, and a general manager that might need an example. That might need to be like, hey, guys, Ben's really serious, and here's how serious he is. I'm going to cut one of my own dudes that I brought in here. Then you go back to last year and the Washington thing. Fine. He had a lapse in judgment. I'll give grace. Young player trying to figure some stuff out. The next week, I was actually in Arizona. I was in the press conference with him the next week after he had been benched and then maybe wasn't at practice after he got benched and then didn't quite know what was going on. And then they have that collapse. The week after that, the game against the Patriots, he was targeted. He was targeted for being over-aggressive, and they got him twice for peeking in the backfield, and then a team that wasn't very good destroyed the Bears at home. And then you go all the way to here, where there's an opportunity for him to really succeed. And so far, in two games, you haven't seen it. So it's not just he had a bad game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. For me, there's a list of evidence against him that goes, if I wanted to make a statement, if I wanted to let people in this locker room know how serious I am about winning, he would be a candidate for that. Jaquan might also be a candidate for that. Just a thought.
Right. It's just legitimately needs to be at a position where you actually have at least a decent option to put in there. And the Bears have went from their secondary being remarkably deep to now it looks like their secondary is a mash unit. Jalen Johnson, Kyler Gordon, even the healthy guys not making plays. Jaquan Brisker being on social media and the safety position not performing up to snuff. So there's a lot on the back end that, especially two games in, if right now the mission is we got to develop good habits, we got to boost each other up, we got to hold each other accountable, and we have to be better than getting rid of Tyreek Stevenson anytime soon, that doesn't feel like something that automatically makes you better.
Fair enough. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Yeah.
Nuggets and tidbits.
One, you guys got time for one more cut, or you got to go? Because I got Dolman here. If you don't have
all right.
time.
No. Let's do it.
Short yardage.
Let's hear about short yardage.
Yeah, because it was like really offensively the most indictable thing was the third and one, fourth and one QB sneaks that didn't work out. Drew Dolman also had a key hold on that second quarter drive that led to a second and 32. So I pulled up at Drew Dolman's locker and we talked about not being able to get that 1 yard.
I probably won't get into like any scheme details just because that's probably important for us in the future. I mean, as an O-line in those situations, more movement always helps. And first and foremost, after a game like that, we need to look at ourselves and see what we can do better individually and as a position group, as an offense, as a team, all those things.
How bothersome is that to an offensive lineman when you can't get that 1 yard?
Yeah, there's certainly like a personal pride aspect, but yeah, more just critical point in the game that really would help us out as a team, and so that's more the focus. Going forward, we need to have the ability to do that, and we will. So.
Where is the offensive line two games through in terms of getting to a spot where chemistry is at a really high level?
It's definitely a moving target. Like as the year goes, you should continue to improve and continue to develop. So there won't be like a point where we pass like a critical threshold, you know, where it's like we're now fully like cohesive, you know. It's like
chemistry has occurred.
Yeah, is that like we should continue to improve constantly, and we should never feel like like now we're good, now we don't need to work on it anymore. So I think it'll just continue to improve, and it'll be something we put emphasis on for as long as we're playing football. So
I say, how do you avoid the pre-snap penalties? Is that a work in progress as well?
Yeah, I think it takes intentional effort from us, which we are putting forth. It's something that we need to improve on, and we will improve on, but only improve as we direct our focus and attention to it and work on eliminating them.
Fair enough. I like hearing that. Groats, we don't have time for nuggets and tidbits. We made a choice.
It's all good.
And we stand by it. Thank you for an excellent Bears report, as per usual.
Bye, guys.
We got to take a timeout. That's Mark Grody, our Bears beat reporter. When we come back, we'll give you a little update on the Cubs. And Big Ant had quite the weekend. He will share next on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
Snuck down here.
Yeah, I was up there a few moments ago.
That's fair.
Snuck down here to be with you on this moment. To have, in the years you've been here, 5 kids, have your wife be with you every step of the way to get to this point. They've played for you. Your sons have even coached for you at this point. What has Hawkeye football meant to the Ferentz family?
You know, that part you can't put a price tag on, having your kids on the team. Luckily, I didn't have to coach them directly. That was a good thing. But, yeah, that's been special. We started our family here, 1983. So just so many good things about being at Iowa. And I didn't even know where I was in 1981. So that's a good life lesson. But it's been special every bit of the way. And our family's been a big part of that. And certainly my wife, Mary, she lets me go out and play every day. I play a kid's game.
Kirk Ferentz, now the all-time wins leader in the history of Big Ten football.
What an amazing moment for Big Ant Heron to be there with his legendary, one of the two legendary coaches
right,
yeah. that he had at the University of Iowa. For Kirk Ferentz to now be the record holder for Big Ten wins, what was that like for you?
The week leading into it, you know, I would lost to Iowa State the week before. And so just in preparation for it, because I've been booked to call that game, Iowa-UMass on the Big Ten Network for weeks upon weeks. So it just happened to be a, there was a bit of kismet in the coincidence that I was on the call for that game. Iowa lost the week before when Kirk Ferentz is already tied with Woody Hayes for all-time Big Ten wins. And so there were some conversations that had begun, but then once the game went final and Iowa lost to Iowa State, then just the fact that I was on the call, I was a player for Kirk Ferentz at Iowa when he won his very first game back in 1999, and that I was going to be on the call for that weekend. It's the type of thing the Big Ten Network having that game on when one of their coaches breaks the all-time record. The network would have tried to blow it up into a big deal anyway, and normally I call Iowa games every year on BTN and on NBC over the years. I never shirk the obvious fact that I played for Iowa, but there is a distance that I always try to maintain with the way I call those games. This was a very unique opportunity that I'm really pleased the Big Ten Network said, yeah, let's lean into this. It's UMass. It's a game I was likely going to control, to be frank and fair about it anyway. And between allowing me to write and voice the opening tees for the broadcast, some of the elements we used in-game, and then sneaking me down from the booth to the field for the post-game moment with Kirk, where we kept that a secret from him, and being able to do all those things and the technological end of making all those things happen in the way that they did, it was really surreal, honestly, for me to be able to have that. Just all the teammates, hearing from them during the week, and all the anticipation of that moment for what he's meant to a lot of folks who played for him and Iowa fans over the years. You know, my wife and son came there. My wife was an athlete at Iowa too, so her and our son came also and experienced the whole thing in the whole weekend. And honestly, it was kind of nerve-wracking because I wanted it to be right and to go well. And not just myself, but a lot of folks put a lot of time and energy into pulling that off to make it happen. And I'm really pleased with the way everything kind of came together by the end of it, because it's not like there's going to be a whole lot of times where my old coach or any coach breaks the all-time wins record. So to get to be a part of that history and helping to tell that story was one of the cooler things I'll ever do on the air.
Yeah, I love the way that you surprised him and the look on his face when he saw you. He's like, hey, what are you doing here?
Right. You're supposed to be up there.
You're supposed to be in the booth. Now you're down here. And having that moment play out at Kinnick, and you said that you had kind of gone through some of that stuff on
Friday. We were doing a bunch of tests, and even Saturday before the game, we were still testing different things because we wanted it to sound right. And you know how these things can go, where just even the audio of having the live television microphone feeding that through the stadium PA also, and how much of the echo effect, the whole Lou Gehrig echo effect, really even makes sense. You still got tens of thousands of people in the stadium there in that moment. And for me, I've had mixed minus in my ear before. I knew it wouldn't impact me, but the concerns of whether or not
it impacts him.
Yeah, Kirk Ferentz, is he willing to sort of stay in the moment once he's kind of caught off guard by hearing it over the PA in the stadium? And all the necessary adjustments were made, and my bosses at the Big Ten Network allowing that to be leaned into in that way, and the level of trust and effort that went into those things, and just the intimacy of that stadium, because the crowd is on top of you, and his current players being there, a lot of my former teammates being there at the game and around us on the field also. His wife Mary was in the tunnel waiting for him and surprised him with a game ball afterwards. And I don't know exactly how the rest of the season is going to go for Iowa. They're starting to make some gains in passing the football. Hopefully those will continue. But for that night and for the production end of that to be carried in the way that it was, and the reaction afterwards to kind of feel folks felt like it was a special moment, that it was delivered well, is really gratifying, because I wanted it to go well. Not, you know, obviously I want my performance to go well also, but just for a program that I care about, for a coach that I played for and that I care about, that mean a lot to me. And that story of all these generations of Iowa football players who are passionate about that program. It was, I can't imagine there's much I'm going to do in this business that's going to feel as personal to me as that did. I'm really pleased that we kind of pulled it off in the way that we wanted to.
And we're glad that you shared that story with us, too. Thank you very much for that. Thanks for being here today. It was much appreciated.
Always dig it.
There's a lot going on. And, in fact, we're going to stay local. Chris Ronji is going to be on the air after we're done. So you'll get more Bears coverage, and obviously some Cubs clinch coverage will be going on. Next week, we're going to be at Circa. It's going to be amazing. We can't wait to get back out there, because that's kind of like our home away from home. And we're glad that we're going to be a part of it, that Circa is bringing us out there. Circa Las Vegas. If you haven't gone, you should go. CircaLasVegas.com. You should check out everything that we're going to broadcast from Friday through Monday's show.
Ooh.
It's going to be excellent. Yeah, it's a long time. It's a long time.
Good luck with that.
Yes, it's a long time to be out in Vegas. So thanks to everyone involved in today's show. We appreciate you, and we will be back tomorrow for kind of a full show, because the Cubs game's at a weird time tomorrow, but that's okay. Coming up next is Chris Ronji. Say his name, and he will appear. I believe in Chris Ronji. For Alex, for Tanny, for Big Ant Heron, for Spiegs, I'm Lauren saying thank you so much for the love and support you show this show every single day. We will do our best to return the favor tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. Have a wonderful rest of your night. Congratulations to the Cubs on clinching a postseason berth.
Yeah, it was great.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.